Twitchell's Book One, Dwindling Magic. Written and read by T.D. L. White. Chapter 23. Tough Job. When they reached the study room, James was sitting on the floor in the corner, eyes closed with his knees up to his chest. Cece was perched on his shoulder, stroking his head like a parent soothing their sick child. Elf had the quill ready in her hand and began conjuring as soon as they were in the room. "Wrap your badge up," Jenny told Nick, while she helped James to his feet. "Lights!" Elf barked. Nick hit the switch. It didn't do much. The quiet twilight of early evening washed over them through the bare window. James groaned. The poison had really got to him. He was barely able to stand on his own. His left arm hung limply by his side. Nick suddenly felt less than sure about the situation.
"Wouldn't it be better to tell a
Badge, Jenny cut him off. He fumbled it out from under his gown and wrapped it in foil, then stuffed it back into his pocket. Elf's portal wasn't the most accurate in speed of conjuring, nor height at target. It slowly expanded to full size, putting them a good few meters above the tops of the tall, evergreen trees at the bottom of the garden, easily visible to the immediate neighbors, should they bother looking out of their windows.
"It'll do," Elf said, as she held Nick's hand.
He held Jenny's, and she put an arm round James's waist, while Cece ran across their heads onto Elf's shoulder for the ride. James let out a long breath when they floated slowly toward the ceiling.
"Feels good," he mumbled. "Weight off my mind."
Jenny pushed off the side wall with one foot, and they all squeezed together like commuters on a packed train. "Hold on," she said, extending her foot again and kicking lightly off the corner where the ceiling met the wall. She hugged them through the portal at an odd angle. Not for the first time, Nick wasn't facing the right way. When his feet brushed the treetops, he twisted round and caught a glimpse of the house and realized what Jenny was aiming for. Her calculation was pretty good. Moments later, they made a controlled crash landing right onto the decking outside Elf's back door. Nick ended up at the bottom of the pile, wooden deck cold and damp against the back of his head. "Everyone okay?" Jenny asked, one hand still wrapped around James's waist, still holding him up despite gravity's return. Nick nodded, noting that, as usual, he was the only one lying flat on his back. Once they were all inside, and Jenny had helped James sit down at the kitchen table, his bag clutched in his lap, Nick got an answer to his earlier half-asked question. "We've talked through it before," Jenny said, opening her bag and rummaging around in it. "If we tell anyone about the poison in his blood, they'll want to know how it happened." She put a chess piece and a small wooden cube-shaped box in front of James on the table, then pulled off her leather wristband and put it into James's hand. He held it limply.
"I'm all right," his voice sounded small. "It's getting better."
"I'll get the squidduckin' key," Elf said, "and the blanket."
"What if there's an easy cure?" Nick said, "like he's got an allergy or something."
"This looked like an allergy," James managed to half smile.
"No, but I'm not a doctor."
Elf came back down with a thick yellow blanket and an old weird-looking key on a loop of string. She hung the key around James's neck and put the blanket over his shoulders. Cece scampered over and smoothed the blanket around him.
"That's good," he said. "The squidduckin' key feels good." "If we tell people about James, they'll take all this away."
Elf raised her eyes to the ceiling.
"And then our hopes of finding a cure and my parents are over."
Something about how sick James had looked back in the house had shaken Nick. It wasn't just fun and games anymore. This was serious.
"What if he..." He paused. "What if something really bad happens?"
"Then you can make a portal to the hospital and dump me outside," James said, his voice sounding more normal now. "I'm almost back to full strength."
"No, you're not," Jenny said. "This was a bad one. The worst one yet. Squeeze my hand."
She held out her hand, and James, rather reluctantly, took it.
"Go on," Jenny said, "hard as you can." With a look of weary determination, James tensed his arm and squeezed, letting out a grunt with the effort.
"Not bad," Jenny said.
"Really?" James looked surprised.
"No, that was like holding hands with a ghost. You're nowhere near better."
James groaned.
"Time for a drink," Elf said. "It is Friday after all. Anyone joining me?"
Nobody answered.
"Suit yourselves."
"I'll make tea," Jenny said. Nick sat down next to James.
"What's with the hand squeeze thing?" he asked.
"It's not always easy to tell when the poison's attacking me. Sometimes there's a metallic taste in the back of my throat, and sometimes I feel it in my stomach. It always makes me physically weak, but so does being tired. I can still walk around, well, usually, but I can't squeeze things hard.
And the keys and chess pieces and that box and stuff?
They're magical items, same as these." He held up his hands. Each had a leather band with a dark red stone set into it. "Me and Jenny got these from the king under the fort. And the chess pieces..." He pushed one toward Nick. "I'm not totally sure they're magic. If they are, I can't feel it. But we got those from Merlina." Nick picked up the chess piece, a king carved from dark wood. He put it down and picked up the wooden box. Something inside rattled.
"I've been feeling bad more recently, but not as bad as now," James said. "It builds up over the week, and then I get to recharge over the weekend. But even Monday felt bad this week."
This time, it was James's turn to get an early night. He had to be helped up the stairs by Jenny, who came back down looking worried.
"This is bad," she said, sitting down at the table.
"All the other times he got better really quickly, once we got him back to Brighton, anyway."
"It's like the priestess said."
Elf was sitting by her sewing machine, three costumes laid out beside it, almost ready for the auction.
"The magic is dwindling. We need to find the alchemist."
Jenny sighed. "We've been dragging our feet. I know I have. I don't really want to do any of the jobs on the LCRS forum. I mean, they're actual crimes."
"What other option do we have?" Elf asked.
Behind his laptop, Nick just listened. He'd certainly not been encouraging them to attempt one of the LCRS jobs. Something about the dwindling magic clicked in his mind.
"That map was magic, right?" he said, logging into the auction site.
"Yes, it works with the key to the air to reveal secret symbols," Jenny said.
"And when James is feeling weak, would the map help him?"
"Oh yes," Elf said. "You think that missing the map might be slowing down his recovery?"
"It's not that powerful," Jenny countered. "Not like the keys."
Nick was searching through the auction website's item listings. "Ever heard of the Wand of Truth?" The others shook their heads.
"Tunbridge Torpid Tapestry?"
"No," Jenny said. "Are those up for sale at the auction?"
"Yeah," Nick kept reading through.
"What about the Stone of Brighthelm? Sounds a bit like Brighton. That went up for sale last Sunday."
He looked up.
"Seriously," Jenny said. "Let me see." She switched chairs and shuffled up next to Nick.
"I don't believe it. That's the girdle picks. How'd they get past Henry?"
Elf shrugged.
"So it's a Brighton thing?" Nick asked.
"Yeah, it's powerful too, and dangerous."
Jenny sat back.
"It's not far from here, deep in a pond. Or it was before it got put up for sale. I bet that's why James is feeling so bad."
In a different VM, Nick connected to the LCRS server. A few seconds later, he found another fly in the ointment.
"Bank job's gone," he said. "At least, someone else has reserved it. I mean, it has been a few weeks, so I guess we shouldn't be surprised."
"That settles it," Elf said. "Time to steal some passports."
By morning, James was still not feeling great. That didn't stop him from wanting to join in.
"I'm the best at drawing symbols," he protested. "If you get caught, you'll need a quick symbol to escape."
"The home symbol's easy enough," Jenny said, "and it's in the middle of nowhere, so no worry about discovery at that end. We can all practice it, just in case we need it."
The home symbol was the first symbol that James had learned. It opened a portal to some uninhabited desert somewhere in Tibet.
"Well, I don't think it's fair to leave me here while you go off and have fun." James's frown was almost believable.
"It won't be that much fun," Elf said. "Just a little risky, that's all."
It didn't sound like fun at all to Nick. A large knot started to form in his stomach as he reserved the passport job in the LCRS forum.
They now had 48 hours to send 2 Norwegian passports to an address in Albania. The plan was simple enough. Find a hotel, hack into their booking system, identify any rooms with Norwegian guests, break in and steal their passports. In Nick's mind, a lot could go wrong, starting with the hacking part. The only good thing that had come of it was that in preparation for the job, he now had a load of portal symbols on his phone, with notes to say where they went. He had a few tries at drawing the home symbol after breakfast, and he had to admit, James had a real knack. Nick's portal had taken minutes to grow to full size, and ended up thousands of feet in the air. Jenny and Elf's were not so far from the ground. When James had shown them, his portal was less than a meter from the dusty, barren land. "Let's just hope you don't get cornered," James said. "Last thing we want is to lose the key to the air." That was the one thing that everyone agreed on. There was no way they could let the key to the air out of their possession. It was just too useful. "Time to go," Jenny said. "Hotel breakfasts usually finish at 10, and we might need a few chances to get this right." They rode the bus into town. Their first target was a big hotel behind the train station called the Castle, a tall building with a modern reception area that reminded Nick of the college building. It felt weird just wandering into it and sitting on a chair in the lobby, but Jenny assured Nick that no one would pay them any attention. Sitting between Jenny and Elf, he pulled out his laptop and ignored the guest Wi-Fi network, connecting instead to the Castle_admin network and running Brutifier. "How long does it take?" Jenny asked. "Depends," Nick said. "Oh, done. Weak password." Cracking the password was not the only easy part. Nick found that all of the internal systems were basically open access. "This is worse security than my old school," Nick said. "It's like it's designed to let me get to everywhere." "We only need to find nationalities and room numbers," Jenny said. "And make sure that they're staying till tomorrow," Elf said. "If they're checking out today, they're more likely to have their passports with them." The excitement of the easy hack was soon replaced with the reality of the task. "None of the guests are from Norway," Nick said. "Well, not that are staying now. Arnie Hansen has a booking for tonight, and that's it." "How big is Norway?" Jenny asked. "How many millions?" Nick opened a browser and searched. 5.5. UK's more like 70 million. "Let's get moving," Elf said, pulling out a bright pink vape. "There's got to be at least a few Norwegians staying around town." They moved from the station toward the seafront, Elf producing great white vape clouds as they went. There were 2 more hotels on the way. One of them had decent security, and Brutifier failed to crack it. The other was easy to crack, but again, didn't yield any Norwegian targets. So much for checking their backgrounds before stealing from them. They'd be lucky to find 2 candidates at this rate. The good news was that there were plenty of hotels on the seafront road for them to try. 4 hotels later, Nick found their first actual Norwegian guest in a big hotel called the Thistle that looked out over the grey-green sea. It was lunchtime, and they were sitting in armchairs around a glass table near the bar. Nobody was paying them any attention at all. "Room 307, Nick said. "Mads Jacobsen, staying till Tuesday." "Great," Jenny said. "Elf, you ready? Get the key and go straight to the lift, and I'll meet you there. Don't come back and speak to us." Elf nodded and crossed the lobby to the reception desk. She had the hard part, convincing reception to give her a key to Mads Jacobsen's room, which meant convincing them she was his daughter. "I'm terrible at lying," Jenny said, as they watched Elf cut to the front of a 3-person queue and interrupt a receptionist who was dealing with a guest. "I just go red and forget what I'm supposed to say. James is good at it, but Elf's the best." "You think it'll work?" Nick asked. "I mean, if I worked at a hotel, I wouldn't give a key out to a random girl. Not that I've ever even stayed in a hotel before." They both watched Elf wave at the receptionist to get their attention. "I have," Jenny said, "and people forget their keys all the time. I had to ask for one last year when my gran left ours in the room. Just needed the right name and room number. It's not like school. Hotels have to deal with annoying guests who complain all the time, like Elf pushing in and pretending her dad's annoyed that she left her purse in her room. Hotels just want to fix the problem and get on with their jobs." Seconds later, Elf started walking to the lifts. Jenny left Nick and caught the other girl up. Now, all they had to do was knock on room 307's door, and if no one answered, use the key to break in and steal the passport. The lift doors closed. Nick's heart started beating faster. A lot could go wrong. Maybe he should get ready to run, in case an angry Norwegian started chasing him. He tried to stay calm and distracted himself by browsing through the different hotel servers he now had access to. Despite the almost transparent network security, there were quite a few systems dedicated to building security. His nerves did not improve when he found one called hallway_CCTV. Moments later, he was looking at 9 different camera views of the third floor. And in 2 of the cameras, as clear as if they were posing for a wedding photo, were Elf and Jenny standing outside the Norwegian's room. The cameras were all feeding their streams into a big storage drive, which had enough capacity to store a month's worth of footage. Nick frantically dug his phone out of his pocket and dialed Jenny's number. He watched on the laptop screen as she pulled her phone out of her coat pocket and answered. "Don't go in there," he said quietly. "I'm watching you through the hotel's cameras. You're being recorded." "He's not in his room," Jenny said. Nick could see her glancing around until she found the nearest camera and looked right at him. "Can't you turn the cameras off or delete the data or something?" "I don't know," Nick said. "I can't be sure. Maybe. But now I'm thinking that I'd have to wipe all of the cameras because you and Elf were picked up in the lobby and the lift." "I'm going in," Nick heard Elf say, and then he saw her open the door and disappear from view. "Keep an eye out," Jenny said, following Elf into the room. "I've got my phone on speaker. If anyone gets out of the lift on this floor, let me know." The door closed. Nick found the right camera and watched the lift, and then looked for one that covered the stairs too. His eyes darted between cameras, and when Elf and Jenny reappeared, he let out a long breath. 2 minutes later, they were back at the table.
"He must have his passport with him," Elf said. "It wasn't in the room, and the safe was empty."
Nick's heart was still racing.
"I'm not so sure about this. I mean, if you'd got the passport and then it was reported stolen, then if they checked the footage, you'd be on film. We all would."
He showed them a live view of the bar. All 3 of them were visible in the bottom left corner. Elf gave herself a wave.
"What else can we do?" she said. "We're out of options."
"Nick's right," Jenny said. "Even if we complete this job, there's no telling what else we'll have to do to get enough points to contact the alchemist. And if we get caught, we might get in real trouble."
"Who cares if we get caught?" Elf said, an edge to her voice. "It's worth it to help James. And you know he'd do the same for you. He wouldn't hesitate."
Jenny was silent. The tension held them for a long moment.
"Next hotel might not have cameras," Nick said.
"Let's go," Jenny said. "If there's no cameras, we'll try again." Between the lack of Norwegians in town and the new addition of checking for cameras, the afternoon's efforts were a waste of time. Elf was in a foul mood by the time they'd run out of options and given up, and they rode the bus, silently, back to the house.
This podcast was brought to you by me, T.D.L. White. I'll be reading a chapter a week until it's complete.